The story of Balak is the story of wanting to try to get rid of the Jewish people through a different means, a different scheme, and that was by cursing the people. And therefore he hired Balaam, the great sorcerer, to curse the Jews. Take a look at one of the, so to speak, curses, which really was a blessing. The pasuk says, "From Aram Balak, king of Moab, led me from the mountains to the east. Of the east come curse Yaakov for me, come bring anger upon Israel." How can I curse? God is not cursed. How can I anger? God is not angry. And then he begins the following. Pasuk tet. Miros surim erenu umigvaot ashurenu. From its origins I see it like rock-like, and from hills do I see it. Behold, it is a nation, am levadad yishkon, ubegoyim lo yitchashav. It's a nation that will dwell in solitude and not be reckoned among the nations. We focus in on the first part of the pasuk. Mirosh sarim arenu umigvaot ashurenu. What is this referring to? I see it like rock-like, and from hills do I see it. What hills is he talking about? What rocks is he talking about? So there are quite a number of approaches among the Mefarshim. I'd like to try to take a look at two, Mirat Hashem, and see again the messages that we can glean for our lives. The first is Rashi. It's a very famous Rashi, source number two. The patriarchs are likened to craggy rocks, and the matriarchs to hills. Thus Balaam said that when he looked back to the origin of Israel, he saw that they're as firmly established as rocks and hills because they are loyal to their forebears. Rashi is based on the Medrash. If we take a look at the Medrash Tanhuma, it develops it a little bit in source number 3. The Medrash teaches that Balaam here was referring to the patriarchs, the early original rocks upon which Israel was founded. The patriarchs represent Israel's roots, and so like an expert woodsman seeking to chop down a tree, Balaam looked for the roots to cut rather than curse each tribe separately. He hoped in his wickedness he'd be able to get to the roots. However, when he reached the roots, he found them as solid rocks and he realized he could not pull them out. So Miros Surim Arena was Balaam's way of trying to get at Klal Yisrael. If I can uproot them at the root, then I have an easy way of destroying them 100%. And he looks at their roots and he says, Mirosh Surim Erenu, Mirosh, from the beginning I see their Surim, I see their rock solid. Umikvaot Asherenu, there's no way I'm going to be able to destroy them. Before we take a look at this Rashi, this Medrash on a few levels, just like to see, just for a moment, how the beginning of the Pasuk fits into the end of the Pasuk of Hein Am Levadad Yishkon Begoyim Lo Yitchashav. Rav Wolbe in source number 4 points out, and David HaMelech says, when those who would harm me rise up against me, my ears listen. Rav Yisrael Salanter commented, when an enemy speaks, we must listen. If our enemy says we are righteous, we must be certain that we're truly righteous. However, if he says something negative, then we know we have fallen short of the ideal. And here we find that how does Balaam describe in Israel? From the tops of rocks I perceive them, and from hills I see them, a nation that will dwell in solitude. And as we mentioned, Rashi describes this as our origins, our matriarchs, and our patriarchs, and that their foundation is rock solid. Every action of our forefathers was done with the intention of creating a spiritual nation, one that would quote-unquote dwell in solitude. We are to be totally removed from the other nations, that the Torah forbids us to even praise them or their possessions. Balaam perceived that the intention of the Avos was to build a nation that we dwell in solitude. Even when living among the nations, we must bear in mind that Balaam's description is our very essence. And that's the connection between the two, that Balaam is teaching us that because of the Avos and the way the Avos led their lives, Avram HaIvri, everyone's on one side of the river and he's on the other side, that this is the calling of the Jews for all times. And this is, as Rav Zaks points out in Menachem Sion in source number 6, this is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. V'lamrot Yisurei Gehinnom in source 6, despite the most difficult and torturous things that happened to the Jewish people, Sarov Tlaot Sherabu Misipor, terrible things we can't begin to describe, lo vitru al af arcta damasa. They didn't budge a bit from this relationship with Hashem. Vehi ha'amada ha'kshanit shalavor v'imahot shalanu amda livnei macharei midor l'dor v'zachtad am yisrael l'shkom badar v'goyim l'itchashav. This ability for the avos to have imprinted in Klal Yisrael our ability to stand on our own, to stand for our values, not to capitulate at all, is what we find throughout the generations, that Klal Yisrael able to hold on to this value. And what enables Klal Yisrael ad hayom hazeh, that when they take a job, they say, I have to leave early on Friday. I don't work on Shabbos. I don't work on my festival. I don't eat certain foods. I don't mingle at certain parties. Am levadat yishkom. Where does it come from? It comes from the avos. Kimeros tzurimarenu umedvot ashirenu. And we have to keep this in mind at all times. To go back to this medrash of trying to uproot Klal Yisrael, that this is the foundation is are the avos and the imahos. I want to try to take a look at this on 2.5, 3 levels on our first level of understanding this pasuk. And the first idea is to understand that our avos and imahos were the ones who developed for us our path in life. When it talks about they are our roots, they are the bedrock of Klal Yisrael, they set, so to speak, they forged the path that we ad hayom hazeh are following in the midst. So to be Miros Serim, to be the hilltops, it's really about the origin. And the origin, the strong origin, are the mitos of the Ovos and the Imahos, HaKadoshim, that ad hayom hazeh, until this very day, we're following in their footsteps. Let's try to understand. By cursing the Art of Jewish Prayer, and looking at the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we begin Shemoneh Esrei by saying, Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Velokei Avoseinu, He is the God of our forefathers. He's the God of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov, and we mention each one of these. On this, in his Sefer, the Art of Jewish Prayer, he notes the following. The Jews had 3 patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and each one of them had their essential character trait. Avraham Avinu's main character trait was that of loving kindness. It led Avraham to find God by appreciating and recognizing how Hashem gave of his own loving kindness into the world. And Avraham Avinu saw his loving kindness manifest in the world as testimony to Hashem's existence. And that was the path of Avraham Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu did not rely solely on his father, Avraham, to teach him about Hashem. Rather, he found Hashem through his own character traits of discipline and self-control. Through this attribute of gvura, self-discipline, Yitzhak was able to see the clarity of Hashem's spiritual manifestations in the world. And then we have Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is a synthesis of the 2 forefathers. Yaakov's attributes of truth and beauty, Tiferet, were the paths through which he found, served, and related to Hashem. He was able to reconcile the seeming contradiction between Hashem's giving to the people and his holding back from giving or punishing people. Thus, Yaakov Avinu drew on his grandfather's loving kindness and his father's self-control and integrated the two into his own personality. In this tefillah, we repeat the word God with the name of each patriarch. The text could have said that Hashem is the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Instead, it says that he's the God of Avraham, God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, thereby emphasizing how each patriarch forged his own relationship with Hashem based on his unique character attributes. It is similarly the task of every Jew to discover, relate to, and serve Hashem according to his or her own primary nature. The spectrum of all character types of Jews are reflected in the 3 characters of the forefathers. Every Jew can tap into the spiritual pools of the forefathers in order to learn how to relate to Hashem according to his or her individual nature or circumstances. And that's why the patriarchs serve as our models from whom we can discover our true nature and a way of serving Hashem. And this is why we start the tefillah with, by recognizing Hashem is our God. First and foremost, we have to find a personal relationship with Hashem. Then the bracha tells us, you want to know from where you can draw the attributes, the character traits to have this relationship. You may be a person of chesed, and you can develop different aspects of chesed. You may be a more gevurah-oriented person. You may be a synthesis-oriented person. But we should understand that each one of the avos has been able to really create a rubric for all time, for all Jews, in each one of these disciplines. And our job is to tap into that wellspring that they have discovered for us, that they have created for us, and make it our own. So we talk about that the avos are the bedrock, they are the foundation. They're not only the foundation in terms of setting up for us Yiddishkeit, but they're very much in terms of the midos that we need to emulate in terms of connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And each one of us has to find our own personal relationship within our own character traits based on aspects of each one of these, Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet. If that's the Avos HaKadoshim, what about the Imahos? So the Imahos are spoken about much less, and for obvious reasons, for Snius, for modesty. However, we know Sarimenu is the paradigm of Snius, we are Sara, Hine Ba'oal. Rivka Imenu is also the paradigm of Chesed with Zrizos, with alacrity. I'd like to take a look at the pathway of Rachel Imenu and Leah Imenu, according to one approach. Obviously, there's a lot from Rav Reis's Sefer Meros Terim. First and foremost, he notes a few hints of where we see that the Avos and the Imahos play such a gewaltig role in Klal Yisrael. There's a Medrash which talks about Bezod Yavo Aaron El Kodesh. When Aaron HaKohen goes on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, each of the aspects that he goes into is hinting at the Schus of the Avos and the Imahos. The Bakar is Avram Avinu. The Ayo Leola is Yitzchak. And the Eis is in the Schus of Yaakov. So the animals that he brings are in the Schus of each one of the Avos, and the Medrash quotes Psukim to support this. This is the asterisk of 9. Ainli El Avos. The Medrash goes on, well, this is only where the Avos, Imahos Vinayin, we are the Imahos. There's also Schus of the Imahos when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Talmud Lomar, Bad Babad Yehiyeh. The Pasuk says, Bad Babad Yehiyeh, that he has to go in with linen clothes. And the Sforim point out, the Imamis points out, the word Bad, this linen clothes, is used 4 times to hint at the 4 Imahos. And in fact, he says that the word for Imchem, your mothers, spells out the clothes that were worn in Bad, the Avnet, the Mitznefet, the Ketonet, and the Me'il. So the very clothes of the Bad form Imchem, the Avnet, the Mitznefet, the Ketonet, and the Me'il, the belt, the hat, the cloak, and the outer coat. And the Imraeris goes on and he says, you also see this in the tefillin. The tefillin, we know, is that which binds Klai Yisrael with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the tefillin we have, of Rosh, you have 2 letters shin. On one side, the shin is 3-prong, and on one side, it's 4-prong. And he says that that is to represent that our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is again predicated based on the 3 avos, the 3-sided shin, and the 4 imahos, the 4-sided shin. This is the very essence of our relationship with God. It has to be with the schus avos and the schus imahos. We can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without their merit behind us. Having said that, in general, what is a suggestion of one of the many aspects that the Imahos have given to us? And indeed, as we've spoken about, Bilhah and Zilpah are not referred to as Imahos because they didn't lay down this foundation. It's only ones who are laying down a foundation who can be called an Ain, even though they were the biological mothers of many of the tribes, the 4 of the tribes. So he notes in source number 11 that Rachel Imenu is described as Yifat Tawar v'Yifat Mareh, as someone who's beautiful. That outer beauty, which is obviously Sheker Achein Behevel Ayofi Yishai Yirat Hashem Yititalal, the outer beauty is really a description of her Yirat Shamayim, of her fear of heaven. And this is the mita of Rachel Imenu of a tzaddik gamor, of a perfect tzaddik, who doesn't have any mum, who doesn't have any blemish, who's complete in their relationship with Hashem. Leah, on the other hand, we know, started out to be beautiful. And then, through her crying, her eyes became dimmed. She's the relationship of a balas tshuva, of a bal tshuva, of somebody who goes through a metamorphosis, someone who goes through a change. So Rachel Imenu sets up for us the paradigm of the tzaddik gamor, of the path of one who's complete in their dedication to Hashem. And Leah Imenu sets up for us the path of a bal tshuva, of somebody who falls and then comes back up. The Sfas Emes points out that what does it mean when Chazal say that where a tzaddik stands, even a bal tshuva can't stand? Where a bal tshuva stands, rather, even a tzaddik can't stand. So he explains that if we take a look at a rope, if a rope never is broken, so it has a certain beauty to it, and that's the beauty of a tzaddik. However, if a rope is broken and then it's tied to, be able to bring the pieces together, it loses its beauty, but it has a certain aspect of strength that's not found in a rope that's not tied together. When a rope is tied together, it strengthens the rope. So there's an aspect of strength that a bal tshuva has, that they have to work much harder against their yetzer to be able to come closer to Hashem. And that's the quality of Leah Imenu, who had to daven so hard to be able to marry Yaakov Avinu. So the strength in Leah is not found in the same way in Rachel Imenu. She knows she's going to marry Yaakov Avinu. It was understood. It was known. Leah Imenu has to work much harder to be able to reach this level. The fascinating thing he notes in 13 and 14 is that this path of the Imahos is what creates a certain reality for their children. Yosef HaTzadik is referred to as Yosef HaTzadik. He is the perfect individual. Binyamin is one of the people that never sins. Mordechai, who comes from Binyamin, is called Mordechai HaTzadik. They represent that perfect yid, the person who doesn't fall. It's Yosef HaTzadik who doesn't give in to Eshet Potiphar. Leah Imenu is the one, however, who represents, and her children follow suit of tshuva. Reuven patach b'tshuva tchila. Reuven's the first to do tshuva, right? He rips his clothes when he realizes the child isn't there. Yehuda, tzadka mimeni, she's more righteous than me. I realize she was correct. David HaMelech, chatati l'Hashem. We find within the children of Leah Imenu the idea of falling and rising back up again. The idea of that chosek, of that strength. And Malchus comes from David HaMelech, and the Sfarim say, because a king needs to understand what it means to fall and come back up again. If a king came from Yosef, they wouldn't understand, what do you mean you fell? What do you mean you sinned? How could you? You have to live on a perfected level. And this is the two aspects. There are people who are tzaddikim gemurim. There are people who can be able to overcome their yetzer at every step of the way. That's a Yosef HaTzadik. That's a Rachel Imenu. That's a Binyamin. And then there are people who are, they try their best. They fall and they get back up. Shevi pol tzadik v'kam. And those are the pathway that Leah Imenu has established for us, that the rope may break, but then we tie it. And we may have to tie it in a number of places. It may lose its beauty, but it has a certain strength to it as well. Leah Imenu is the Pelech Hodaya, is the aspect of giving thanks. Leah Imenu is the one who's able, and her children, to express praise and thanks to Hashem, able to admit when making a mistake. And Rachel Imenu is the Pelech of Shtika, of total silence. And as Chazal tell us in the Arrow in 14, Lo Matzati Laguf Tov Mishtika, I found nothing better for the body than shtika, than silence. It's that perfected state where you're comfortable in yourself. And that's indeed what silence is about. I don't need to tell anybody a secret because I'm comfortable in myself. I'm holding in myself. Leah Imenu represents the aspect of speech. Rachel Imenu, the aspect of silence. And we need to have both. Hakol kol Yaakov. One with the vav, one chaser vav. We need to have both aspects. The aspect of speech, of recognizing I've done wrong, admitting it, and the aspect of silence, where I'm living on that level of perfected state. We'll just add here one more nekuda that Rav Reich brings in 15 and 16, looking again back on more of the forest view of the Avos Nimahos. He says something absolutely fascinating. He brings down that when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening at the end of Parsha B'Shalach in the war of Amalek, so Perek Yudzayin Pasuk Yud says the following, U'Moshe Aaron v'Chur alu Rosh HaGiva. Moshe Aaron and Chur went up to the top of the mountain. And here the Medrash says the following, Rosh, the top, is the Maitzeh Avos, is the Schus of the Avos. HaGiva, the mount, the hilltop, is Maitzeh Imahos, is the Schus of the Imahos, which again dovetails with our pshat of Mirosh Surim Erenu. The Rosh is the Avos, U'migvaot Ashirenu, and Rosh HaGiva. So again, it's a parallel to our pasuk. Then it goes on and says, Vayikhu Evan, they took a stone, Vayasimu Tachtav, and they put it underneath him, Vayashev Alaha, and he sat on it. And this was a place to help Moshe Rabbeinu David. Here we find Chazal telling us the following, Rabbi Elazar Hamoda Yomer, Bo Tosha Loi Ayachola Modbo, Masa Moshe, Hifna Masa Avos. At that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to daven himself, and he needed the schluss of the Avos and the Imahos. Shenemar Vaychu Evan Vayasimu Tachta Elu Maisa Avos. Taking the stone and putting it underneath, that's the Maisa of the Avos. That's Chus Avos. Vayashev Aleha, sitting on the stone, is Maisa Imahos, is the aspect of the four mothers. The matriarchs. So ask the Shemi Shmuel, how do you see that from here? What's the hint at it? So he says very beautifully. He says, when we're talking about Vayichu Evan, to take a rock, the Evan is Merosu Rimanu, the Evan are the Avos, the Evan is hard, the Evan represents the strict discipline, the Musar Avicha that a father gives over to his children. That's the Chelek, the Moach, the mind, the tough aspect, the disciplined aspect that the father gives over. However, there is also a hilltop. The hilltop is made up of sand. It's made up of something much softer. That's the Imahos. Remes l'tshukos, so we're going to show the pamo, bilav avore mahot, harishulam yisrael, skuda aleif hatahor. If the Avos gave over the strict discipline, the logical mindset of Torah, the Imahos' job, and the Imahos' job throughout all time, is to give over the regesh of Torah, to give over the feeling of Torah, to give over the passion of Torah, to give over that feeling of connection to Ribono Shel Olam. So if the father's job is to teach Shabbos, you're not allowed to do this and you can do that, and this is how you do Borah or don't do Borah, and it's very technical, the mother is, but it's Shabbos. And you know what it's like on Shabbos? To be in the Hechla de Kedusha, in the Hechel of the Melech, and when you're in the Hechel of Melech, in your palace of the king, so then the rules are the etiquette of the king. And just like when you go to a feast, you know, you go to the king's, you know, palace, you have to act a certain way. Shabbos, we enter into the king's palace, we act a certain way. So it's not just a technical bore, you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. Suddenly it takes on an emotional hue. What does it mean? What does it mean to be in the Hechalo Shomelech? And Shabbos takes on a whole different aspect. That's the mother's job. That's the givah. That's the hilltop made of the soft sand, made up of the soft earth, which is the emotional aspect. Further, he says, we know that where a person desires to be, that's where they are, right? That's why, you know, the famous word of why do we say Baruch Shem out loud on the night of Yom Kippur, right? Even we haven't even started fasting for an hour, and suddenly we're Malachim, we'd say Baruch Shem. But after Ne'ila, when I dive in Mariv, I say Baruch Shem quietly. I've just been a malach. I've just been an angel for 25 hours. That's what I should say, Baruch Shem, out loud. And the answer is simple. Where your mind is where you are. So an hour into Yom Kippur, where is my mind? Yom Kippur, being a malach. So that's where I am. I'm in the realm of angels, of malachim. Where is my mind at the end of by Mariv after Yom Kippur? My mind is in food. My mind is in drinking. My mind is, when is this going to be over so I can break my fast? Ah, that's where your mind is. So you're no longer an angel. You're down to be a person. Say Baruch Shem quietly. So he says, that's the idea of they took the Evan via Sheva Leha, and they sat on it, Elu Maisei Mahos, because the woman represents desire. Where are you at? To sit on something means that this is where I'm found. The heart of a person, where a person wants to be, that's where they're found. That's Maisei Mahos. Vayasheva Leha, he's sitting on it to show you that when a person is focused on this is where they sit, this is where they desire to have this connection to Hashem, they're following in the ways of the Imahos, and this is the legacy that they gave us. I'll just add one more nekuda before wrapping up this first level. We know the pasuk tells us in Shirashirim Kol Dodi in the asterisk in 16, Hine zeba midalega l'harim mekapetz al hagvaot. I hear my beloved coming. A reference to the final redemption. He is skipping on the mount on the hilltops. And jumping on the, skipping on the mountains and jumping on the hilltops. So here the Sfasemis notes that the Harim are the fathers and the Gvos are the mothers. When it comes to the Schus Avos, it's the Medaleg skipping. Mekapetz al Gvos is 2 feet. It's even a higher level, a faster level. But Mishnah Mehirus. So skipping is one thing, but jumping is, and this is that Noshim Hinam Rachmaniot Yoter, because women are more merciful, it's going to bring the Gula even closer. And Sasemis ends such a beautiful idea at the end of 16. He says that even according to the Shita and the Gemara and Shabbos, that Tamas Chus Avos, that there's no longer this aspect of Chus Avos, the merit of our fathers, which is a I asked to explain its own, right? S'chus le'imahos l'otama. Ken yaseh lano atava s'chus le'imahos. The s'chus of the imahos. The merit of the foremothers, of the matriarchs, never ends. And Kadosh Baruch Hu redeem us in their merit. Because Klal Yisrael understand that this is our emotional connection to Hashem. And this is the zach that we're going to be able to be saved. So, the first level, my friends, of Rashi, that I look at the hilltops and I look at the mountains, the schus of the avos and the imahos. What Bilam was saying is that they have such a strong foundation that Klal Yisrael today is who they are because of where they've come from. And that, as Ksav Sofer points out in 7, is why even though Yishmael and Esav come from the same, you know, parents, they don't count because they haven't followed suit. They're not acting in their ways. We are who we are, because not that we came in a vacuum. We are very much the result of all the hard work that they did in order to be able to create a reality of Chesed, of Gvura, Tiferet, the Avos HaKadoshim, the Imahos, and what they gave us, the Schus of the Pelech Hodaya, of Shtika, of Tzadik Gamor, of Baal Tshuva. All of this is we're just being able to tap into the kochos that they gave us. The fathers are the ones who teach the discipline. Shva b'ni musarficha v'al titosh torati mecha, the Torah of the mother, the emotional aspect, and in that chus Klal Yisrael will be redeemed. That, my friends, is idea number one that Rashi is teaching us. Idea number two. Source 17, Kovet Sichos Ravach Vogels Atzel. Perush, Ani Mistakel Beroshitam, Ubitchilat Shar Shehem, Vani Roeotam Yusadim Vechazakim Kitsurim Vigraot Alalu Ide Avos Vimahos. I see that they're very strong. And he says, "Hadavar tamua lo bnei Israel, im shishim elef ribo anashim, ubnei gdolei Torah rabim ba'alei ma'asim tovim rabim." Why is it that Bilam's looking at our forefathers and mothers as being so great? Weren't there great tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael? V'chi chaser lahem zchuyos lamod b'fnei Bilam ha'rasha? Weren't there zchuyos? Weren't there merits enough to withstand Bilam's curse? Muchach shakol talui b'yesod. We learn from here that really everything goes after the foundation. If the foundation is strong, then you can't move something from its place. And if the foundation is weak, it doesn't matter how beautiful the building is. It doesn't matter how great the tzaddikim are in that generation. If the foundation is not strong, everything is going to come down. That's why what Bilam is pointing out here is that you can never destroy Klal Yisrael. Doesn't matter what generation we're in, whether we're in a generation where we're holding by Torah mitzvot or not. It's irrelevant because our foundation, Mirosh Sarim Arenu, Umigvarot Asherenu, Shayeshton Chazak, Lo Yair Yachol Akorat Amin Olam. Because we are so strong, it's impossible to take us out of this world. And we know this so true, my friend. Perhaps many of us don't go building buildings, but if we've ever sat down building blocks with our children, we know very well. You know, you take those old-fashioned wooden blocks, you know, where you have to use a little more creativity than some of the things they give you today, and the feel of wood is so special. Okay, you start building a tower, right? So it could be a beautiful tower, but if the foundation, and this is what we teach our children, first make sure that it's very sturdy on the bottom, that you have a lot of the blocks on the bottom. And once you have the blocks on the bottom really well put in place, then you can start building top on top one of the other. It's not a sturdy foundation. As beautiful as the building is, as well constructed as it is, it doesn't stand a chance to be able to withstand. Rabosai, this is not just talking about Klal Yisrael in general, it's talking about each and every one of us as an individual. This model of Mirosh Sarim Arenu Mevod Asherenu has to be within each and every one of us. We need to understand that just like the Avos and the Imahos set up a very firm foundation, we need to follow suit and set up a firm foundation in ourselves. In our Avodas Hashem, we have to model from them. They modeled for us on the national level. We have to model it also as well as they did on a personal level. And that's how they were able to build the national level. We have to model it in our own right. Rabbi Yerucham in Das Torah and Das Chochma Musar speaks about this at length in many places. And I want to highlight a number of ideas because it's so essential for our lives. He notes in Source 18, when we talk about chaklaot, when we talk about planting, there's a lot of chachma, there's a lot of wisdom in this. And he says, you have to plant, that it should be mushurashim hang, velo ruach yisein v'itlaim. You have to plant it so it's well-rooted, and that a wind isn't going to come and just blow it down. And he speaks about in 19, kavodat sadeh kenavodat adam. We have to learn from the way the agricultural people work for our own selves. Adam b'malo. If a person plants and doesn't see any blessing, you know that there's a problem with the way he planted. And if you plant and a wind comes and destroys it, then you know that it wasn't as planted as well. And this refers to us as well, that if any time we think that we're strong in our Avodas Hashem, and one Nisayon comes, and suddenly you don't know what to do with yourself, and you start questioning this and that, and you're not standing in a firm place and holding on, then you know that all that hard work was good. However, you were missing the foundation, that you're so easily swayed when a Nisayon, when a challenge comes. Our job is to make the roots as strong as possible. We have to work as hard as we can to be able to be as successful as we can. You know, a story that I've mentioned before, which has so many ramifications on so many levels, is a story that I'm sure you've heard as well, of a block in Lakewood, I believe it was, where when the storm Sandy came, when the hurricane came, so on the very same street, there were trees that were just fell down one after the other. And then there were trees that withstood the winds and didn't fall down. And it was so bizarre because it's like the same wind pattern coming from the same angle. Why did some trees make it and some trees didn't make it? So when the person looked into this phenomenon, they noted that the trees that didn't make it were watered with an abundance of water. And therefore, since they had a lot of water, their roots didn't go deep into the ground because they didn't need to, because they had water coming from different supplies. The trees that made it were trees that didn't have a watering system, and they had to dig their roots deep down these trees in order to be able to get the water to be able to survive. Those that had those deep roots were able to withstand the storm winds. That is the model for us. Are we digging ourselves deep down into our beliefs, into what our values are? Or do we say, you know, I'm well planted, you know, it's comfortable, you know, I'm socially, you know, on par with everyone else. I mean, think about my Yiddishkeit, please. I mean, I'm sending my kids to yeshiva, Biskyakov, my husband learns stuff, y'all me, you know, like, you know, I walk the walk, I talk the talk, what more do you want from me? The problem with that is you're being watered by everyone around you, but you might not necessarily, have planted your own roots. Where are you in your Avodas Hashem? That's Kmiros Tzurim Arenu Mikvod Hashemenu is about us. Are we planting our roots so that they are strong as a rock, that nothing is going to be able to move them? And when we face challenges and difficulties, which all of us do, this is part of what life is about, and some of these are really, really, really difficult, tragic, and there are no words to describe, and there are no words to describe, are we able in Vayidom Aaron, in our silence, to be able to still hold on? Have our roots dug deep enough that a storm, like a hurricane wind, can't uproot it? And this is our challenge. Hu Asher Da'ag Avraham V'amar Tomar She'achar Omeid U'Misagel Mitzvot U'Masim Tovim Yoter Imenu V'Titche B'Riti L'Briti. Brito Libriti, he's afraid that maybe I'm not strong enough and somebody else is going to take over. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, no, no, no. Your roots aren't only good for you, your roots are also. In 20, he says, Hinev Tiach Lo Hashem Ki Yeshor Shlo Rek L'Kla Yisrael. Avraham's roots were not only good enough and are good enough for Klal Yisrael. Eliki Yesharish, Hasharish Gam La'avos Yitzchak, the Yaakov, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu are also going to draw from Avraham Avinu. Hu Yesharisha Desharishim, he's going to be the ultimate root. Hu Yechatimah L'kol La'adol Me'alamim, and that's why going back to that first bracha, even when we begin the bracha, Eloke Avraham Yitzchak, Eloke Yitzchak, Eloke Yaakov, we end off Magen Avraham. Why do we end off with Avraham? Because Avraham Avinu is our shield. He is the one who is the root. And everything else is based on him. Hasar Nisyonos. He had 10 tests, and he withstood all of these tests. V'nei chayev adam lomar. Person has to say, Matai yakiyu masai l'masei avotai. When are my deeds going to become as great as their deeds? Al yasa adam masa baderech from kait ba'alma. This is a great line in 20 in the asterisk. Don't just, you know, be frum. Ki tavoa ruach v'kamos titvenu. If you're just going to be acting frum, act the act, walk the walk, talk the talk, it's not hard for just to be blown away. You know, and we know this, that, you know, if the style is short this or, you know, whatever it is, so everyone's, you know, I know that I really should be sneeze, but if everyone's dressing this way, what do you want me to look like, you know, a frum nerd or something? Obviously not. It's okay, it's a little bit short, but, you know, a wind is just going to blow you away. If you're strong, if you hold by that frumkai, it doesn't matter where you are. Avokola malosha aldam bavodal derech zriyatiyena. Koma sav yu nitunim ushurashim ka'as yetzliach v'yasepriro. You can't just act. You have to be able to build. You have to create that foundation, that stability, that strength. And he goes on to explain in a different place in the Das Torah in Source 21. He says, so often the Olam Hazeh is really described as imitziyut. There's really no reality here. It's a heder v'chisaron. Because, you know, everything is just so comes and goes. You know, it's that famous story, Rabbi Baruch Hanna, where he's on a ship and they see what they think is an island. So they get off and they start making a barbecue. And it really wasn't an island. It was a fish whose sand grew on the back. And when the fish got a little bit warm, he wasn't so happy and he flipped over and, you know, they were able back, thank God, to get back on their boat. This is obviously a very deep understanding. He says, this is us. Zeu siman shehemi ha-metziut ha-mitit. That when we so often build things on things that aren't sturdy, like the back of a fish. So we know it's going to be a very sorry tale. And it's going to be a very fishy story. And if you finish, you'll be happy. This is what we have to ask ourselves. Am I rooted? Am I strong? Is my family rooted? Is my family strong? Are we able to have that ability? This is the greatness of the Avos, Ani Choma. They are like a rock. They're able to handle anything. He continues in a different place. And he says that this idea of being able to be strong is the exact opposite in the asterisks in 23 of Sheker. And we know Sheker ain't Lurakline. Falsehood doesn't have legs, doesn't have anything to stand on. Are we living our lives based on a falsehood? Are we living our lives based on a truth? And I'm ready to hold on to that truth no matter what. Even if it's difficult. Even if it means that, you know, if I don't speak Lashon Hara, I may lose my job. I'm going to fight by the halacha. I'm going to do what's right. I have that. You know, my values are in place. I know what's correct. I'm going to follow it. And this, he says in 24, in Das Chochma Musar, is the sort of Emunah. Emunah is from Yateid Ne'eman. Have a sturdy, trustworthy foundation. That you're not midnane, that you're not wishy-washy. Avraham Avinu matzata levavo ne'eman lefanecha. This is what it means to have the strength, to have the emunah, to be strong in our avodas Hashem. And we know, my friends, he goes on by saying, this is a very beautiful idea in 25, that when you have this aspect of ne'emanos emunah, you come to an inner peace. And this is the inner peace of Olam Haba. This is the inner peace of Shabbos. This is the tranquility of knowing that what you're doing is correct and nothing is going to move you an iota from what is right. And this is a challenge for us, my friends. And this is why I'm bringing it. It's so easy to stand by principles. I have a principle that I will only tell the truth. Well, it's sort of the truth. I mean, you know, there's certain areas you're allowed to lie. So it's a truth that I'm allowed to lie. It's Darach Shalom. We may have a lot of principles. But do we hold on to them for dear life? Do we hold on to what the Torah tells us no matter what, even if it's not, so to speak, socially popular? Even if it's going to make us a bit uncomfortable, are we going to do this? Are we strong enough? This, my friends, is what the Torah is telling us here. Ki miros sirim erenu medvaod ha-shivenu, we need to follow. Matai yakiu ma'asai l'masai avosai. We need to follow in the footsteps of our avos and the imahos of being able to have a character trait. Rochel Imenu understood shtika of silence. Silence was at all costs, even if it meant that she may not marry Yaakov Avinu. This is what it's about, being able to hold where you're at. This is Rochel Imenu, who when Leah Imenu says to her, Ama'akach techet ishiv, lakachet gamet uday b'ni, it's not enough if you took my husband, you're not taking the flowers. L'chein yishkavi machalayla. She doesn't answer back. Okay, you can take him. I would say, hello, who gave you this simanim? Who gave you this husband? Shtika. Rochel Imenu holds by this quality trait. Are we able to hold by the value system that we have? How do we do this? So Das Chochma Musar in another place in 27 says, Nireh mi divrehem ki hei mechanim et ha-maiseh b'shem shemashim. one of the ways to build very strong roots that you're not going to be wishy-washy is through the aspect of deeds. That we know the whole point of learning Torah is to be doing Torah mitzvos. And this is what we need to be able to focus in on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us 40 years in the desert to be able to recognize that we're completely dependent on Hashem. 40 years, day after day. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us HaKol Lefi Roiv HaMaisa. Everything is about, based on how much action you do. And that is how we develop our teva, we develop our habits. And this is about, we know, is it better to give $100 to one person or $100 bills to 100 different people? Give $100 bill, it would be nice to give $100 bills to 100 people, yes. To give $1 bill to 100 people, because why? You're giving, you're giving, you're giving. And that develops the brainwave called giving. And then when I've developed the brainwaves called giving, you see that it becomes part of our nature. It becomes part of our nature. It becomes our yesod. It becomes our foundation. And that is what we have to be able to work on. Rav Noach Weinberg in 48 Ways to Wisdom points out 28. Wisdom is not truly acquired until we put our knowledge into practice. Without this crucial step, our understanding remains theoretical with little impact on our day-to-day living. The struggle to live according to what we know to be true is the cause of much inner strife, confusion, and inconsistency. For example, most people would rather be happy than rich, yet so many people devote their lives to becoming rich despite the fact it wreaks havoc on their family life, ruins their health, and causes many moral compromises that undermine their happiness. You really believe in something? Are you living it? Human beings are creatures of habit who enjoy the comfort and security of our daily routine. 30. Use habit to your advantage. Take a piece of wisdom you have learned and convert it into a concrete action that you repeat frequently. This will increase the likelihood that you will integrate the wisdom and put it into practice reflexively. For example, around the dinner table, make it a daily practice for family members to share one pleasure that they had that day. Over time, this will become a meaningful family ritual that will instill the value of gratitude and appreciation. Let's say you want to work on becoming a more caring person. Translate that, 31, into a daily action that you can commit to. For example, spend a few minutes praying for the welfare people in your life who you know are going through challenges, or spend 1 hour a week learning with a Jew who knows less than you do. Start with easy steps and work your way up to harder ones. For example, one aspect of the mitzvah to love your fellows yourself is to be friendly toward others. A small practical step might be to make the conscious decision. This is very fascinating. To answer the phone in a cheerful voice as opposed to grunting, hello. A next step might be to do small unannounced favors, like making coffee for a coworker. Then it builds from there. Push forward. Even the smallest effort will get you your momentum going. The key is to always be doing something with the wisdom you have learned, consistently moving a step beyond your comfort zone. With every little effort, you inch up. So aspect number two of this Rashi, aspect number one is that the Avos Imahos set for us patterns that we are able to build from, build upon. Aspect number two, the Avos Imahos were able to set strong foundations, immovable bedrock foundations. Our job in our own lives is to build these bedrock foundations, these values, these Torah principles, these aspects in our midos that I develop them, I become a giving person, I become a kind person, whatever it is. And I have to be able to develop these roots. And developing these roots are small and steady steps. However, they take effort, they take work, they take me building those deep into the ground till they become part and parcel of who I am. The third aspect of this Rashi, very briefly, the Tivat Torah of Gemara Rabinowitz in 33, is Lomdimanu Mikan Shekola Chosek Vatokef Shalom Yisrael Sebechure Yotam Yisterim Aladei Havos Veimahos HaKdoshim. Our greatness comes from the Avos and the Imahos. Uma Shebechlau Zeh Gam Beprat. What's true on the universal, it's true on the individual. Shim Rotsim Yolodim Tovim Yoreim V'Shlemim. If you want to have beautiful children who are whole, Oskim B'Torah Mitzvos, and full of Torah Mitzvos, Hareza Talui Behorim Kama Hema Mashkiim B'Yaldehem. How much do you invest in your children? Do you build this foundation with your children? We came here to serve Hashem and not to be involved in just, you know, consuming physical things in the Hevle Olam Hazeh, Shu Olam Cholefer, that's so fleeting and transitory. And to the extent that we're able to develop this aspect of what is the family values, what are the family values, and that we're able to hold on to those values no matter what, and that Torah and mitzvot are the bedrock of our family, to that extent you're going to be able to raise a family that this is what's most important for them. Part of this aspect of being able to raise children like this is to be able to be role models for our children. That we have to be the Rosh Serim. We have to be the bedrock, the roots. Parenthood 34, Bat Yisrael Salamun, hearts full of love, is an awesome responsibility. Not only do you hold your entire child's future in your hands, don't feel too much pressure, you also have to be doubly concerned about your own deeds and behavior. Everything you do is magnified in the context of the children will look to you for chinuch. 35, this places a heavy burden of responsibility on parents, regardless of how they are themselves in their natural state. They have to rise to a higher standard in front of the children. They have to be extremely careful even when they speak on the telephone. If the children are anywhere within earshot, the children hear everything and learn from everything. And the parents always have to be aware that children are evaluating everything they do and forging paths for their own lives based on these evaluations. Parents must protect their dignity, because without dignity, the father and mother figure would dissipate and they would lose all their influence. Rabosai, this is what it's all about. We have to be, on a mini level, those bedrocks for our children, that they can be able to rely on us, rely on what we're teaching them, have respect and for us, keep our dignity, and then they'll be able to build their families on us. And this is part of the chain of the Rosh Serim Arena. That's one understanding of Rashi. Then, I'd like to take a look at a second understanding of Rashi and be able to see one lesson that we can learn from that. The second idea of Rashi is found in a few different, but I'd like to share two different variations. Both have the same result. 35a, 35b, Rav Monk, the Quill of Torah, quoting the Medrash Yalkut. He says that Sur, Mirot Surim, Sur is a rock, Erenu. Rock is also the name of the father of Cusbi, the Midianite woman who subsequently tempted one of Israel's leader into this aspect of Znus. We know at the end, when Bilam wasn't successful, he said, I have a good idea. Take out the beautiful woman, the men will follow suit, they'll serve idolatry, God won't be so happy, it will destroy many people, which it did. Balak suggested that through this act, Israel's immunity from curses would be diminished. However, Bilam replied that the same word, Sur, also means flint. Thus it evoked the merit of the Israelites who were to make knives of flint to circumcise their son just before they entered Canaan. This was a great mitzvah which had not been performed during the sojourn in the wilderness. Hashem was to say to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach from Egypt from you. And the reason why they didn't do bris milah is they didn't have a certain wind that would heal them from this bris milah, but as soon as they came to Eretz Yisrael, they did it. This explains the Pasuk in the Haftarah that Hashem showed us compassion from Shittim to Gilgal. What's the connection? That here Balak wanted to bring the story of Shittim, and Bilam answers, no, we have Gilgal, we have that the Jewish people have a schus, and that schus is the schus of Bris Milah. The way Rav Chaim Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld speaks about it in Source 36, is that when Balak said, well, they don't have the schus of Bris Milah, that should be your in to be able to get them. So Balaam says, but I know in the future that they're going to, that the reason that they don't have it is because they're anus, that they are forced. And we see that when Klal Yisrael come to Gilgal, when they're no longer forced thing they do, they enter into that area, they do a bris milah. So what Bilam is saying is, I could use bris milah if Klal Yisrael, when they weren't forced, you know, they dragged their feet in doing it. But the fact that they're not going to drag their feet in doing it shows you that when they weren't able to do it, it was because they weren't able to do it, but not because they didn't want to do it. And that tzchus of wanting to do it is going to be the protection of Klal Yisrael. And this, my friends, gets us to our final page, to our final ideas. That the really, from here, we see something so fundamental in Avodas Hashem. It's about our attitude to doing Torah mitzvot. How do we look at having to do things? How do we look at the ratzon and the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So again, Rav Kofman Mishchat Sheven points out, he says, when the Malach came to Bilam, the whole story of the donkey, the Sforna writes, Chatati, when Bilam says, I sin, Lakshon Oref, I was stubborn, Ki lo yadati, Vayali Lachushosa, I should have been more cognizant of this, Ashuvali, let me return, because I don't want to go against what Hashem said. So, okay, Shalom Yisgil Livchon Advar Hashem, Lavina Ritzono Be'emet, Veloiz Tapek B'tshuva Shoseh, Rakshim Etzavim Elav V'Favrish. Bilam is saying, you know what, I was going what God said, but I really wasn't listening to what God was really telling me. And that's where I realized, Chatati, right? Even though Hashem said I could go, but I wasn't listening to really what He was saying to me. The Shulchan Kadosh notes this as well. When Bilam saw the Atom of Eitzel Aderek Ofen Shloyas Oselo Atko, he should have paid attention to this. He should have been able to reach the understanding even before the angel came to him. Why is this happening to me? Obviously, even though Hashem said I can go, is that really what He said, or is that the way I understood what I wanted to understand from what He says? But Vachana Vassarim points out when Bilam says Lo Uchal Lavor Pi Hashem, I can't go over against what Hashem says. He knew Hashem didn't want them to curse. But unless Hashem said, don't go, he was listening to whatever he wanted to listen to. And this is our challenge, my friends. If you really want to know where a person's holding, it's how they really listen to what Hashem says. 38. Look how he does a mitzvah. Kimi shekiyum a mitzvot alav kimasa kaved yichabdu mimenu yichabed mimenu v'nigash l'asiyatam kimi shekaf oshen mitoch over choser cheshek harim megalash ein barut so mishtoku letzor tzonoi barach v'chol megamato yirak lasod et mutal alav v'lo yoter. There are some people who do Torah mitzvah, like, oh gosh, I got a bench now. Oh no, I got to do this mitzvah. Oh, what a schlep. Oh no, I can't believe I have to do this. So you're listening to Hashem, but you're not listening. You're not listening to the voice that says, what an opportunity you have. Sala verina lusecha machuso. You know, you should be singing and dancing every time you say Hashem's name. Like, wow, says the Nesiva Shalom. Do we feel this way? Are we excited? Are we doing what we have to do, but we're missing the Kar Chaser Min HaSefer? We're missing the connection? We're missing the geschmack? If your whole relationship with Hashem is out of love and desire, sure, I'd love to do this mitzvah. Ugh, I'm not going to sit there and decide, well, is this merely my lunch when I eat this pizza? Oh, now I got to wash and bench. It's not a lunch, it's a snack. Okay, it's 12 o'clock and I'm not eating anything all day, but it's still a snack. Why? Because I don't want to bench. Because everything's a burden. This is the key. Am I doing the mitzvah because Hashem said do the mitzvah? Or am I doing the mitzvah because I want to connect with Hashem and I want to bring nachat ruach to Hashem? I understand, you know, it's like with a parent, lahavdil, right? Like, your parent says, okay, I don't want you to go. Or I'll let you go. But they really don't want you to let you go. Or they ask you to do something and you begrudgingly do it. They don't want you just to do it. They want you to do it to have a relationship with them, to listen to them, to grow closer to them. There's so many reasons. When you have an attitude, so then you've lost out on what's behind the command. You've lost out on the relationship. You're doing it. You're getting that cup of water, but you've lost out on the love. You've lost out on the connection. You're saying the bracha, but you've lost out on the love. You've lost out on the connection. And that's our job. Our job is Leon Ovid and Hashem Yitok Ratzon V'Cheshech with a desire to do Hashem's will. And that's what the story of the Bris Milah is about. They could have said, you know what, let's get into Eretz Yisrael. Let's capture the land. Then when we find a good time, then we'll do a Bris Milah. No. As difficult as it is, if this is our first opportunity to do it, we're out of the desert and it's safe now, we're going to do it right now. Because we love Hashem, and we want to do His will, and we want to connect with Him. And this is the whole mindset of a person. Do you look for opportunities of connection to Hashem? Rabbi Bernstein points out, this is such a beautiful piece in the Sefer Haggadah, learning Torah as absorbing Hashem's will for how we are to live our lives means that the ultimate level of learning is when every action becomes influenced by one's Torah's knowledge. The Medrash records a fascinating discussion regarding the beams of light which show forth from Moshe's face. From where did Moshe merit receiving those beams of glory? There was ink left over from the writing of the Torah. He took the ink and smeared it on his face, and from there he received the beams of light. How does smearing leftover ink on one's face cause it to shine? Moreover, why was there any leftover ink in the first place? Presumably Hashem was able to calculate exactly how much ink was required to write the Torah. And that is how much ink should have been available. No more and no less. Rabbi Yosef Leib Lach, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tel Zatzal, explains, every mitzvah in the Torah contains a lesson for how to live life. And there are many situations beyond the actual performance of that mitzvah where those lessons can be applied. The more a person has absorbed the message of the mitzvah into his being, the more he'll be able to apply Torah lessons to life's various situations. It's not just about doing this mitzvah. When one says a bracha, one feels a karas hatov, one feels such gratitude. And then whatever else I'm doing in the next few minutes, I'm so grateful. You know, thank you Hashem, I have a hand that I'm able to write. You know, thank you Hashem. I don't know if people still write. Thank you Hashem that I have eyes that I can see. Thank you Hashem that I know how to write and I know how to formulate ideas. Wow, I'm full of gratitude for that cup of water I had before I sat down to write. Because when I understand the message, I understand the inner voice, it has a whole different situation. This is the leftover ink from the writing of the Torah. Even when the mitzvahs have been presented in full, there's still more to be written in terms of applying the principles in a broader setting. Moshe attained the ultimate level of incorporating Torah lessons within every move. Hence, the leftover ink became smeared on his face and embedded in his being, so that resulting elevation caused his face to shine. That's the goal. Reversely, we'll end before we summarize in Source 40. V'kasher adam koveh belibo b'tzmidu l'ishto kesh l'dvar Hashem v'kiyum r'tono. When a person has a desire to really connect to Hashem, you have a sense of what Hashem wants from you, even when He hasn't commanded you. Hashem is constantly directing us in things that happen, in people we meet, in situations we're in, in things that are said, in the proper way to go. Our whole lives is one big Hashkacha Pratit lab. We have to realize that this is something for me to learn from. When I overhear this conversation, when I see something, when I experience something, these are just mediums of connection. Why did you happen to hear this? Why did you experience this? It's not for naught. If you're just going through the road of the actions and not really understanding it, so then you're not going to be open to all this communication that Hashem has with you. But when you're in this relationship, then all aspects and nuances are so much clearer. It's like two friends who are very connected to each other. They may just give a gesture and one understands what the other is saying. But if you don't have this relationship and it's just, you know, very cordial and very, you know, exacting, do whatever the person says, they can make the same gesture and it'll go way over your head. And this is our job, my friends. Umi shemoach lo bekot ko, in the asterisk of 40, whoever has a brain in their head, nizhar b'chol leit l'chol, l'chol yiyem eilu oso t'mim, einem l'ro dvar Hashem, they are the ones who have to be careful and not to be blinded. V'adirabba, menase b'chol izdamnot limso, ulai achshav afshar lo lamod mustar haskel, maybe now, Charlie, I'm able to learn a lesson. B'shvil avodas Hashem, v'itchasku b'kiyum ha-mitzvos, to strengthen my kiyum mitzvos. Mikol milam da'yiskalti, ki dosecha sichali. A chacham recognizes that everything in this world is a calling of ma Hashem d'reish v'menu, what Hashem wants from us. My friends, what we try to see today, ki mirosh sirim erenu mikvod ashirenu. This statement of Bilam is such a model for us to recognize that the Avos HaKadoshim, the Imaos HaKadoshos, have set for us a pattern, have set for us the foundations for us to build on, have set for us values. And when we learn these stories, we have to see what values, what are the messages, what are the personality traits that they have given over for us, for us to follow suit, to us to follow in their ways. That's the one aspect of the Bedrock beginnings. The Avos are the strength, the Imahos are the emotions. Both of them together are the ones that have given us Chus Avos, Chus Imahos, which has never ended. Those are the ones that the Chus, that the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. Understand that just like they set up the bedrock, we have to set up our own bedrock within ourselves. We have to have that strength of spirit. We have to have those roots deep down into the ground that no Hurricane Sandy is going to be able to uproot us. We're very strong. Yatei Ne'eman, our emuna is very strong. Our values are very strong. And we're not going to say, but when we hold on to our beliefs, each and every one of us has to have this. One of the ways to get there is Maisi. The more you do, the more it becomes embedded, the more it becomes entrenched, the more you set the brain waves to be in this pattern, in this path. Keep on building those deeper and deeper. Start by giving slowly, then deeper and deeper until the aspect of giving, or whatever mita you're working on, becomes part and parcel of who you are and the way you think. And finally, on this level, is parents in general, are that bedrock, or are those role models, is that aspect of dignity that our children are going to build their own future on. We have to recognize that when we raise our children. Right? Because we're really raising our grandchildren and great-grandchildren at the same time. On the second level, this has nothing to do with the Avos and Imahos, Kimirot Sarim Moreno. I see Kasbi Batsur. I see that we have an in to get them. No. Sur is also Bris Milah. Klai Yisrael have the schus of the Bris Milah. They didn't have the schus of the Bris Milah in the desert, you're right. But they will have the schus of the Bris Milah as soon as they get into Eretz Yisrael. The fact that they have it as soon as they get into Eretz Yisrael, why is that such a schus? Because even though they weren't obligated, the moment they become obligated, they do it. And that shows the love of Klai Yisrael. We're not trying to get out of anything. We're not trying to, you know, duck under anything. As Rav Moshe Feinstein Hatzal says, if anus rachmei patre, if you can't sit in a sukkah, you're exempt. But you can build a sukkah, even if you don't sit in it, to show the love of the mitzvah. And that's what it's all about. It's not just about going through the road. It's about being able to really tap into what's the Ritzon Hashem. What's the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does He really want from me? And this is how we have to live Torah. It has to shine from our face. What's the deeper voice that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will? And that just leads us full circle. The Avos HaKadoshim, the Imaos HaKadoshos, that's the lives they lived. They just didn't do things because they had to do things. They did things because they were connected. Avram Oavi, Avram my beloved. This is what it's about. It's about a relationship. The Avos and the Imaos set for us what it means to have a relationship. When you have this relationship, you indeed have that bedrock beginning, and you'll be zocha to be able to build an individual and a communal level, and on a family level, a home that is dedicated to the teachings that we hold to be our strong values. Rabosai, Hodel Hashem Ki Tov Kilom Chasdo, we finished another year together of learning, of growing. We are grateful, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Davin at the same time. You should give us many more years in health of tremendous insight and inspiration to be able to continue to learn. As always, it's time for Karas HaTov to thank all the individuals who are responsible in the different places for showing this year, for putting up this year, whether it's Nale.com, YouTube.org, and the individuals in different communities who... In each community, you know who you are. Each of you should be blessed with those who are involved in Sarchei Tzibur Be'emuna. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Mishalim Scharam. And a final grocer, Yashar Koach, once again, if I work hard, then Chani Stein works, I think, even harder. At being able to try to put together a summary week after week, it's hours of work, does an incredible job being able for everyone to be able to benefit from going over the shiur, highlighting the major aspects of the shiur. Anyone who's still not on the email list would like to get the summaries can email shirasmilesclass@gmail.com and ask to be put on the summary list. And Emir Tzashem, we will pick up Parshat Shoftim and for another year, Emir Tzashem, of tremendous learning and growing together. Everyone should have a wonderful, healthy summer.